Well, we've been in a series called How to Turn Your Faith Loose. Why don't you go up and go ahead and put up on the screen Romans 10, 9, and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Don't have to turn there. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's with the mouth we confess unto something. Because the Bible says to believe with our heart, to say with our mouth. The reason this is so, one of the reasons this is so important is because we are a spirit being. There is a spirit realm, and what we do with our mouth in this realm declares what we're going to be under, what we're going to yield to spiritually. And this is what we've been talking about. There's a right way to think and believe and to say, and there's a wrong way to believe and think and say. And when we yield ourselves to the wrong thing, we are unconsciously or consciously putting ourselves under the dominion of the devil. Of Satan. We are declaring our defeat when we believe wrong things. We are thinking, if we think wrong things, we're thinking defeat. We're thinking we're under him. When we think it, when we think on it continually, we're going to believe it because it's going to get down in our heart. When we believe it, it's going to come out of our mouth, because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart, or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you think on continually is going to get in your heart. What is in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. What comes out of our mouth determines where we go. And it declares what we are under and who we yield to. And so we want to be very careful, not legalistic, but careful about the heartfelt things that come out of our mouth. And there's a big difference between, you misspeaking and saying something that you shouldn't say, and you, from your heart, because you've been meditating, saying defeat. Those are the things that are going to destroy us. When we have adversity come against us and we speak defeat, I'm not going to get over this. I don't know why this isn't working. What we're saying is that we can't be helped. Satan has dominion over us. He is beating us. He's defeating us. And we give him unconscious dominion. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Talking about the enemy. They, the saints, overcame him. The enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and something else. It's not just by the blood. It's not just what he did for us. We have to do something. We need to speak. We need to declare Satan's defeat here. It's Revelation 12:11. Can you put that up so everybody can see it? Oh, wait a minute. Notice you had the other scripture. Glory to God. Glory to you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Notice, they overcame the enemy. We're not going to take time to read this whole verse in context, but it's talking about believers, and it's talking about Satan. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It is by what Jesus has done, but now we have to declare it, and we have to make it effective in our lives. We have to say and line up with what he said, declare what he has done in our lives. Mark 11, 22. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. Matthew 17:20. Something very similar. It says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, he's talking about this certain situation where the disciples were trying to cast out a devil, and they asked him, why didn't it come out? He says, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Why? Because we have faith, number one. And then he said, if you have faith and you say, then it will move. If we have faith and we say, then it will move. Matthew 21, 21. Matthew 21, 21. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do that was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Go ahead and put up Luke 17:5 as well. It says, and the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted by the sea, and it would obey you. If you have faith as a mustard seed. Notice the apostle said, increase our faith. How does faith come? We covered that in another series. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. They said, increase our faith. And he said, well, if you do this, if you have faith, just as a mustard seed, you can say to the mulberry tree, be pulled up and by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. He's giving them something to believe. He's telling them something they can believe, and we can believe it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we've talked, we've touched on this in different areas. We were talking, touching on last week about resisting fear, resisting doubt. We're not going to cover those areas, but go back and listen to those if you missed it. Another area that we want to be sure with, so what we say, we'll say it like this, what we say, we've talked about wrong thinking, wrong believing, wrong saying. When the pressure comes is when we're tempted to say the wrong thing. When there's pressures of life, that's when you're tempted to say the wrong thing. And this is when we need to say what God says. The Bible says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And when the pressure comes down in any area, that's when we're tempted to let our mouth say what we see, what we feel. Emotions will try to get to you and drive you into the wrong thing. The Bible says in James that the mouth is a rudder. Let's go ahead and just look at that for a moment. In James, you can go ahead and turn there. Praise God. Let's read James 3, verse 2. It says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man, a complete man, able also to bridle the whole body. Notice that. If one does not stumble in word, he is able to also bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look at also at ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. He's talking about the tongue, talking about the mouth. He said, even so, the tongue is a little member and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. But look at verse 3 and 4. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body, just the bit in the horse's mouth, even though the horse is bigger and more powerful than we are, we can turn the whole horse by the bit. And then, obviously, with the ship, it says, look at also ships, although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Notice that. Wherever the pilot desires. The pilot desires, see, it's different with sea stuff, where they have starboard and stuff. I don't know which way is which. So I'm just going to say if they want to turn left, they turn left. If they turn right, they want to go right. Maybe some of you know that stuff. I don't. I'm from Nebraska, not the East Coast. So, but anyway, the tongue is like that rudder. Just like the pilot said, you know, turns the rudder and it goes whatever way he turns. We, the Bible is saying right here, the tongue is like that. So if we're going in the wrong direction, one thing we might want to check up on is what we're saying. Amen. What are we saying? I mean, you can't make it any more plain than James does right here. The tongue is pretty small relative to our body. But it can get us in a lot of trouble too. Verse 5 says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. Anybody ever got in a mess because you said the wrong thing? Huh? Yeah, we all have. Things are going pretty well and you say the wrong thing and boom. Well, it works like that, but it also works if we'll speak in line with God's word. That is literally lining us up in a direction to line ourselves up with Him, to yield to Him, let the power of God flow in our life, speak and declare what He has said. He is a good God. He has provided so many benefits, and we need to yield to Him and line up. This is a primary way we do it, by speaking out our mouth. One area that He has provided is healing for our bodies. He's provided healing. Let's look at a few scriptures. May be familiar, but let's look at them. Let's go to Isaiah 53. I'll put it up on the screen. Isaiah 53:4. Isaiah 53:4. It says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteem Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. See, it says, surely, verse 4, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And you'll see this in Matthew. These words literally refer to sickness. Look at Matthew 8:16. In the margin of my Bible for Isaiah 53, it says, literally, sicknesses. For griefs and pains, for sorrows. And then you see this, if that weren't enough, in Matthew 8:16, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. Now he quotes the verse we just read. And look at the way it's written. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And look what it's referring to. Go back to verse 16, please. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Okay? He's talking about physical healing. And notice the next part. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying. So he's referring to physical ailments. And he's referring to physical healing. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Praise God. Just want you to see one thing before we go on. Can you go back to Isaiah 53? And if you can get ready, if you can go down to verse 12 as well. We'll look at this, but I'm going to go to verse 12 here in a moment. Look at this. Now, we just read in Matthew, and then we're going to read in 1 Peter as well. But look at Isaiah 53:4. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. Now, like in the margin of my Bible, it says, literally, sicknesses. He has borne our sicknesses. Well, that's what Matthew said. In case there was any question, the Holy Spirit through Matthew, or through the Gospel of Matthew, shows that this is talking about physical sickness. And then, carried our sorrows, literally pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, if you can skip down to verse 12. So if that part, or let me say it this way, this next part, look at this next part. See, this is all talking about the salvation, the atonement that the Lord Jesus Christ provided for us. Now, read this next part, because if this part's true, that earlier part's true. If this part refers to people that believe on Jesus, that earlier part does too, and it's part of salvation. It says, therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death. Next one. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Now, if we believe that part, did Jesus bear the sin of many? Did he? He bore the sin of many. And by believing on the Lord Jesus, that he was raised from the dead, that's how you become born again. Well, if this is part of the atonement, part of what Jesus purchased, then Isaiah 53:4-5 is as well, and we see that is referring to physical wellness, physical healing. So if this is true, if we believe on the salvation, that the forgiveness and the remission of sins, then Jesus also purchased healing for our bodies. This means that it is part of what he has already paid for. It is purchased. It's paid for. He bore it. That means he took it. And if he took it, we don't need to take it. I said, if he took it, we don't need to take it. If it's paid for, we don't need to pay it again. Do we need to pay for our sins again? Then do we need to pay for our sickness? Do we need to bear our sickness? Well, this is just my cross to bear. That's not in the Bible in this context. We follow him, put our flesh down, yield to what he wants us to do. That's not the same as bearing sickness. Whenever you're wondering, there is suffering, okay? Even for Christians, there is suffering. But what kind of suffering? We're not getting into this now, but we'll just put this out here. You can always determine if the suffering that you're dealing with is something you should be dealing with or not. Does it help anybody? What good does you being sick do anybody? How does that give glory to God, and how does that help anybody? It doesn't help anybody. It hurts people. It takes your money, takes your time, takes your emotion, you know, your emotional strength, your physical strength. It's a thief. Well, that sounds a whole lot like the devil. Now, there is a suffering. Paul suffered. He put his flesh down. He went through things, but it wasn't sickness. He went through things to preach the gospel. He put his flesh down. He said, I put my body under. He goes, I run this race like an athlete. I'm in this like a soldier. He's putting his flesh down. Well, that's suffering. That's your will. You put your will down to do what God said. That's a whole lot different than dealing with sickness. And bearing that, Jesus bore it. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah said, we are healed. Peter, looking back, says, we were healed. We were healed. So if we were, if we are, and we were, and he bore our sicknesses, and this is all paid for, now we need to declare that, and we need to say it in the face of sickness. We need to take our rights and privileges, what Jesus bought and paid for. Remember, Revelation 12:11 said it's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Yes, he's bought it. Yes, Jesus paid for it, just like he paid for the sins of the whole world. But they have to receive it. They have to confess him for salvation, or confession is made unto salvation. Well, confession is made unto healing. We declare what the Word says. We hear what the Word says. That's what we're hearing right now. And now we have to believe, and we need to speak and say it and resist sickness. Resist it. We talked about this. We resist it. We don't entertain it. Just because you see a symptom, just because it looks like you're sick, you don't deny that you're sick. You don't say, well, I'm not sick. You say, no, it may look like I'm sick, but I know what Jesus has done, and this has to go, and you push back on it. One of the primary ways we'll do that is declaring the word by acting on, that is acting on the word. When you are not feeling well, and in spite of that, you say, I am well. That is not lying. That's calling those things that be not as though they were. In Romans 4, it says, that's what God does, that's what we do. We agree with him. We agree with him, and we say what the word says, in spite of it, in spite of what we see. Glory to God. So instead of, so many times, instead of declaring that we are healed, that we are free. People, individuals, say that they still have their sickness. It might sound like this. Well, I don't understand. What is that? What's going on? Why is this happening? I tried. What is that saying? We're whipped. What is that declaring? It doesn't work. Does that agree with what we just read in 1 Peter, in Matthew 8, in Isaiah? Now, those aren't the only scriptures on healing. Those are just an example, okay? That's not our main focus, but those scriptures are there. We could go through any number of other scriptures. But we need to agree with it. We need to say it. Where we're defeated so many times is we see something and we don't see something lining up, and we start declaring opposite to the Word of God. We take the testimony of our physical senses over the testimony of the Word of God. And we speak out the testimony of our physical senses. We hear it. Your senses will talk to you. Anybody found that out? Your eyes will talk to you. Your body will talk to you. You see something in your body. You feel something. And it is easy to take that testimony and say, well, see, that's the way it's going to be. And if we agree with that, if we agree with what we see, what we feel, what we're saying is God's word is not true. Whether we mean it like that or not, we just read the testimony of God. Now we see what our body says, you know, it looks like, but it talks. Now, if we agree with that and speak that out, what are we saying? God's word's not true. Well, I just don't understand. I don't know why. You know what happens? We are declaring that we are bound. Well, yeah, but if it's true, I would just see it. It should just... That's not agreeing with the Word of God. We need to get it settled. Whatever we see, God's word's true, it's right, and I am not going to be moved by what I see or feel. Otherwise, when are we going to believe that it's true? When are we going to believe we're healed? When we see we're healed, that's not believing anymore. Ask ourselves a question. We should ask ourselves, when am I going to believe? Well, I don't feel well, so I'm obviously not healed. That's not what the Word of God said. It said it's already ours. Now we have to agree with what He said. See, you believe and you say before you have. Didn't it say that? It didn't say the mount will move before you say it. It says you say it and then the mount will move. It says you believe it and then you'll receive it. It'll show up. So in the middle, when there's a test, when there's a push, what are we going to say? What should we be saying? We should be saying what the Word of God says. We need to confess that Jesus has already done something about our sickness and disease. He's already completed it, already finished it. He's taken them away. That He has borne them. Nope, He's borne it. And because He bore it, it'll show up. Brother Hagin gives the account of a woman that was healed just by hearing the Word and by changing her confession to line up with the Word of God. He says, in one of my meetings, a woman said to me, Brother Hagin, I'm going to the state institution to get my sister. She isn't really bad off mentally, but she does need institutional care. When someone speaks to her, she does understand what's being said, and the doctors usually let her come home for 2-week periods anytime I want to come and get her. I believe these services will help her, so I'm going to bring her to them. And you know, I never prayed for this woman's sister during those 2 weeks. But just from hearing the word, the woman's mind was made clear, and she never went back to the hospital. The doctors gave her a clean bill of health. You see, she had begun confessing defeat, fear, and doubt, and those things became a part of her, and that's how her mind became sick in the first place. But in these services, she saw where she had missed it. She began to make the right confessions and was healed. Even the doctors said she was healed. Before she attended those services, she said her mind, or they had said her mind would never be right. Because this woman's recovery was so dramatic, another woman in the church said she was going to ask her neighbor to come. Her neighbor was mentally disturbed and had been committed to the state hospital, but had not yet gone. She said neither she nor her husband was saved, and that she was going to tell her husband what had happened to the other woman at these meetings, and to see if she could bring the man's wife to the meeting. She came with her neighbor to several morning meetings. When the week was over, the woman had been saved, healed, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and never did go to the state hospital. 5 years later, he said he preached in that same church, and the woman attended, and her husband had gotten saved too. We need to understand that our will and our believing have a lot to do with us receiving healing or whatever we need from God. Believing Him. What we believe and what we say has so much to do. We need to cooperate with God. We cannot go on and say what God, go push against Him, not yield to Him. We're not talking about works. We're not talking about trying to work something up and trying real hard and believe real hard. We're talking about agreeing with the Word of God, saying it, believing it, and thinking in line with it, period. Cooperating with Him. Pushing back when the symptoms are there. Saying what He said. Agreeing with what He has done. Glory to God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We need to agree with what He said. I said we need to agree with what He said. We need to. Individually, we need to agree with what He said. This is not something somebody else can do for us. We cannot... God will not push something off onto somebody if we don't cooperate with Him. Yes, we can be healed by the power of prayer. There are healing anointings. But sooner or later, we're going to have to believe God for ourselves, because, and that's exactly why people get healed and then they slip back and they say, well, I guess it didn't work. No, it worked, but we are ultimately going to have to enforce it in our own lives. We will. We have to. And some people say, well, that's hard. I can't take that. It can't be up to me. It's got to be up to God. If it were up to God, the whole world would get saved. It's not a work to get to believe Jesus. It's just faith agreeing with what He said. Do we walk by sight in our salvation? Well, I don't feel saved today. Have you ever woken up and you just don't feel like it's a great day? You don't want to get up. You don't want to go to work. Well, I guess I just won't go to work. I don't feel like it. Well, that's not going to work very long. Pretty soon you won't have a job to go to, right? Well, I don't know. I just don't feel like Jesus loves me. How do you know that Jesus loves us? Because of the way we feel? No, because of what His Word says. We need to agree with the Word of God in that area. Otherwise, we could go around for the rest of our lives and be mopey, believing that God doesn't love us because we just don't feel it, right? At some point, somebody could pump you up. somebody could get you going, and when they put you out the door, if we don't listen to it and we don't do something for ourselves and push off the resist fear, resist doubt, resist the evil thoughts, we're going to go around moping. It's the same thing with bodily healing. So many have said, well, I just don't know. It just didn't work for me. We are declaring what we believe. And just like we would push off negative thoughts, we need to push off any symptoms, and not in our power, not in our strength, not we're trying to will it to happen. We just agree with God and say, God, your word's true. Now I'm going on down the road as if your word's true. I believe that for myself, and we can do that anytime. We don't have to wait for somebody. We don't have to wait for some move of the Spirit, something to happen. Thank God for those things, but we can be healed and we can stay healed because we agree with Him. You guys are just looking at me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. He's faithful. It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. What He did for us and us enforcing it in our lives. You can't come and force it for me, and I can't come and force it for you. It's what we do when we're driving in our car, when we're at home, when something's pushing on us. What do we believe? This is not a game. This is not some religious, you know, stuff that we quote. Well, I believe in healing. I believe in healing, so I'm part of the healing club. As if I go to a certain church and that's it. No, this is real. There's. Did Jesus die on the cross? Did He take those stripes? Is that real or not? Because if it's not, then we're just playing a game. If it's real, then we need to know how it works and what are we doing to agree with Him so that it operates in our life. Amen. Praise God. He is good.